Hey, you guys are going to have to bear with me today. Been kind of sick for the last couple weeks. I tried to get over it, but allergies kind of fought back. So I'm kind of losing my voice a little bit today. So I want you guys to think of the person who's been most influential in your Christian life. Either the person that brought you to become a Christian, or perhaps the person that brought you to become the Christian you are today. I want you to think about what that person did in your life, what that person did to bring you to that point. How did they act? What did they do? And how could we follow their example in making our own disciples? Discipleship is teaching people to become followers of Christ and teaching them to become better followers of Christ. I recently read a book called Four Chair Discipling that kind of went over the four different levels of discipleship. Now, the first chair is those who are lost, those who are dead in their sins. But some of those people might be seeking. So we call this group the seekers. Our goal for this group is to win them over, to win them over for Christ. Our second chair is the new believer. Once we've been successful in winning them over for Christ, our goal is to build them up as disciples so that they can go to that third chair. The third chair is where most of us are at. That is the worker for Christ. Our goal for the worker of Christ is to equip them for ministry, to equip them to share their faith with others. And then finally is the fourth chair, where that person you thought about earlier, they're probably on this fourth chair. That chair is called the multiplier, because they don't just share their faith and add to the faith. They share their faith and multiply it. They can't even count how many people have been affected by their lives. This is the chair we should all aspire to be at. But just because we're not at this chair doesn't mean we can't still do the work of disciple making. The Great Commission is perhaps the most important and authoritative instruction Jesus gives us on how to make disciples. So I'm going to go over it again, because it's pretty short and it's easy to memorize even. So then the 11 went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded of you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So this text, I like to say, has five instructions for us. These five different instructions are things Jesus gives us to follow so we can become our own disciple makers, so that we can reach that fourth chair or and help other people reach the next chair of discipleship. So the first instruction Jesus gives you, you might think it's go. But really, I think the first instruction comes one verse up, where Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." I think it's very important that Jesus tells his disciples this before he commands them to go, because he's reminding them that they're not on their own, that they're not doing this by their own power. When we go and we share our faith, when we go and we make disciples, we're not doing it on our own. We're always going to feel underprepared. We're always going to have an excuse for why we don't want to go make disciples, why we don't want to share our faith. And to be honest, we always probably have a decent excuse because we always are a little underprepared. There's always more we can learn. We can always become better Christians. But that's not important because we're not doing it by our own power. We have the power of Christ. It is through His power that we are sharing our faith. And we don't need to be fully prepared because Christ's power will help us through. And it's also interesting to note that just before Jesus gives this command, just before that, it says, "But some doubted." These people are doubting in the face of the resurrected Son of God. If you're ever going to believe, to fully believe and not doubt, I would think it would be right here. We like to kind of make fun of these disciples. That's like, really, you're still doubting? Like you're staring down the resurrected Son of God and you're still doubting? But I feel like I'd be that guy. Be like, are you sure you're really alive, God? Like, I'm not sure. But I think this is important that we see them doubting here because it shows that doubting is an inevitable part of being a disciple maker, of being a Christian. We will never escape our doubt. We will always be wrestling with that doubt. But our doubts shouldn't stop us from sharing our faith. Our doubts shouldn't stop us from worshiping Jesus as they did here. We need to address our doubts and be open and honest with them, even when sharing our faith. Because when we're sharing our faith, if we're hiding our doubts from other people, we're not being genuine with them, and they'll see that. Doubt is an inevitable part of being a Christian and a disciple, but it shouldn't stop us because, as we remember, we're sharing with Christ's power, not our own. We are not always going to be prepared, yet Jesus still gives us the instruction to be assured that He is with us. So the next instruction, the second instruction, is to go. And I think this is an interesting instruction here because in the Greek, it's not just go and like once you get there, go make disciples. So like go and then when you're finally there, then you can start making disciples. So in the original Greek, it's more like as you are going, make disciples. And this is really key to understanding what Jesus is telling them here. He's not telling them to go on some trip. He's not telling them that once they reach a certain point, they're ready to make disciples. He's telling them in their everyday life, make disciples. I had a professor once that he didn't like the name Great Commission because he thought, it's not that he didn't like the Great Commission. It was probably his favorite passage. He didn't like the name Great Commission because it seemed like a thing that's just so high and so hard to achieve. He liked to call it the Everyday Commission because every day we should be following these instructions. Every day we should be sharing our faith and building up our fellow Christians. So as we are living our lives, we are going and making disciples of all nations. But what does that mean, all nations? Does that mean we're all called to be missionaries? Does that mean that missionaries are this high calling that God is telling you that someday you can reach this point? No, what he means by all nations here is he means all people groups. In fact, in this text, he probably means the Gentiles. He's telling his disciples to go to the Gentiles. So what this is calling us to is to not discriminate. To not discriminate to who we are trying to share our faith with, to to who we consider our brother and sister in Christ, to who we build up in Christ. It requires us to step out of our comfort zones, to step out of our cultural shoes and understand that Christ is for all nations, for all people. We have to recognize that our view of Christianity isn't perfect. Our view of Christianity comes from our cultural context. And our culture isn't perfect. So our view of Christianity has been warped by that. So when we share our faith with people from other cultures, we have to understand that their view of Christianity might be different, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. That doesn't mean we have to fight them. We can still build them up while having our disagreements. We can still build them up and build each other up as we learn from each other about what Christianity really is, as we see Christianity from different cultures and how different cultures have a unique view on who Christ is. I think this plays in to the third instruction Jesus gives us, which is to baptize. Now, we kind of like skipping over that sometimes because we think, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm probably never going to actually baptize someone. So, like, is that instruction really for me? But baptism is the sign that someone has become a Christian. It is the sign that they have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they will follow him. And it is this point that Jesus tells us to teach them to obey. And I'll get to that in a minute. But I think that's important that we share our faith and then they become a Christian and then we teach them to obey. We are welcoming this person into our community of believers. Once they have been baptized, they are our brother and sister in Christ. It does not matter what their life looks like at that point. It doesn't matter how rough around the edges they are, because we're all rough around the edges. When someone is baptized, they are welcomed into our community. They are your brother. They are your sister. And it is at that point that we start teaching them to obey. And ideally, as we bring more people to Christ, we should see so many baptisms in the church as we welcome more and more new believers. As we grow to that fourth chair and we become multipliers of the faith, we see the faith multiply. So then we get to that fourth instruction and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And that second part, to obey, I think is really key here, because Jesus isn't telling them, teach them everything I have commanded you. He's not telling them, teach them to know everything I have commanded you. He's telling them, teach them to obey. And that really reminds me of James, where James goes on about how it's about your works. It's about how you live out your faith that matters. So Jesus isn't telling them, I want them to memorize this scripture passage. I want you to know, you know, what chapter and what verse this is in. He wants them to obey. It's not that scripture memory isn't important, because it is great. It is a great way to always remember to obey. But it is the obeying part that is important. Because faith without deeds is dead. And knowledge of Christ without following Christ is worthless. And this is a command for everyone here. Not just people like me or Greg that come up here and teach. Teaching can be a part of everyday life. As you are going, teach them to obey. So how do I do that? How do I live out a life that's teaching? Do I just have impromptu Bible studies? Do I just kind of sit down with someone and chat about the Bible all the time? Is that how I teach them to obey? It's not a bad idea. But I really like the idea of living their life out. It's actually a little convicting here that Jesus is telling them to teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. He's reminding them here that you're supposed to teach them to obey, but what you're teaching them to obey, I've already commanded you to do. You should already be obeying. Don't tell them, do as I say, not as I do. It's kind of like when you're first learning to drive and your parents are like, whoa, whoa, slow down, you're driving too fast. And you look at them and you're like, Dad, you drive like way faster than I do. I don't know why you're telling me to slow down here. If you're not living out a Christian life, if you're not following Christ, if you're not making disciples of your own, what are they following? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And that's how we should be living our lives. We should be that beacon. We should exemplify Christ's love for others in us. When people see us living out our lives, knowing that we have the power of Christ in us, knowing that it is not through us that we share our faith, they will see that and they will want that. If you think once again back to that person that led you to become the Christian you are today, they probably lived a very Christian life. They probably lived a life that you wanted to exemplify for yourself. And then we get to the final instruction. The final instruction is to be assured, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, if you've been paying attention, you might think, Ben, you just repeated yourself. That was your first instruction. Your first instruction was to be assured, and now you're getting to instruction 5, and you're telling me to be assured, but you've already told me that. Well, Jesus is telling us that twice. And when Jesus repeats himself, it's probably important. So Jesus, at the end of his command to go make disciples, he's telling us to be assured that he is with us always until the very end of the age. So it's just once again a reminder that this is through his power that we are making disciples. We're not making disciples for ourselves. We're making disciples for Christ, with him. And if we ever falter on our path, he's right there for us. We can fail for months at a time, for years at a time, for our entire lifetime. But Christ is with us. He is with us always. And as soon as we turn back to him, he'll be there waiting for you. He'll be there waiting for you to become a Christian. He'll be there waiting for you to start making disciples, to start sharing your faith. It's never too late because Jesus is with us always to the very end of the age. He sandwiches his command to make disciples because he doesn't expect us to do it on our own. He knows we can't carry it on our own, and he doesn't expect us to carry it out on our own. If we try to do it on our own, we'll ultimately fail or make some creepy cult or something. We need the power of Christ to make disciples. So if you go back to that person once more, one final time, how can we live a life like theirs? How can we follow their example, following Christ? How can we make disciples? One way is that we can encourage one another in making disciples. We can encourage one another to share our faith. Encourage one another to build each other up. One very practical way you can do this is just find someone that you can disciple. Just think of someone in your head right now that you can encourage in their faith, that you can help build up in their faith. This doesn't have to be someone that you mentor. This doesn't have to be a formal relationship. This just has to be someone that you help along their journey of faith. And then humble yourself for a minute and think, who can disciple me? Who can help me follow Christ's path? So let us pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for giving us the instructions for how to make disciples. And Lord, I thank you so much that you are there. You are there for us. You assure us that you are with us always. Lord, we can't do this without your power. But Lord, we know you're there for us, and we can do it with your power. So Lord, just be with us as we go forth. Help us make disciples for you. Help us share our faith, and help us build one another up. Help us not to discriminate as we do that, to cross cultural boundaries, to understand that Christians from other cultures can give us so much understanding of you that we have locked away. And finally, Lord, help us to live that life out, to live the life out that you taught us. Help us, as we teach others to obey, we obey ourselves. I pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.
As a response to this, the worship team is going to come up, and we would like to bless you with this song. The title is Send Us Out, but it should be As You Continue Sending Us Out. But we want to remember the Holy Spirit's presence and the Holy Spirit's participation in the work of discipleship. So we'll sing the song now. The words will be on the screen, and we invite you to sing along and learn the song with us. And then we'll sing the chorus again later together. But would you listen and let your spirit respond today?
Jesus, Lord of our salvation, Savior of our souls, send us out to the world to make you known. Jesus, King of every nation, this world's only hope, send us out to the world to make you known. Send us out to the world. We want to be your hands and feet. We want to be your voice every time we speak. We want to run to the ones in need. In the name of Jesus, we want to give our lives away, all for your kingdom's sake. Shine a light in the darkest place. In the name of Jesus. Brokenhearted, mercy you have shown. Send us out to the world to make you known. To the ones in need of rescue, lead us, we will go. Send us out to the world to make you known. Send us out to the world. We want to be your hands and feet. We want to be